This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Thank you for tuning into the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show and Podcast. Joining us again is San Diego real estate investor and broker, Lenska Bracknell. Hope you enjoy the show.
Other investors that actually they have added ADUs to their main residence because they had dead equity sitting in their house, built the ADU with that dead equity, and now they live for free.
Yeah.
Even in their main house. Now, if you're close to, it all comes down to age. People want to find other means of financial security. I see people paying down debt, actually, rather than taking on new debt. I went on a couple of ADU appointments, and the baby boomers are hesitant to actually, homeowners are hesitant to spend or refi $300,000 out, which would give about a payment of $1,600, $1,700, but they would rent it for $25,000, right? They are simply not willing to do it because they want to reduce their debt.
Okay. The process in San Diego or the process in Orange County to get an ADU approved, is it the same, or is do cities have input and can get in the way of it?
Now, Bruce, what was that for a question? A city getting in the way of an investor doing something? I think that was a rhetorical question, right?
Well, I know ADUs are supposed to be treated somewhat differently.
So here's my big pet peeve about...
I knew we were going to get to one of them. Absolutely. Yeah.
Here's my pet peeve about... It's called accessory dwelling unit.
Right.
There's nothing accessory about it when you deal with the city or when you talk about cost. I mean, you know, your chart on lumber prices, 400% up, it's simply no joke either, right? But the city, I mean, LA, there is a state mandate, right? The cities are all supposed to follow. So that is the minimum standard. Some cities here in San Diego still don't play ball. You know, they restrict the size of the unit. The heights limit. They have some other restrictions. LA is probably one of the most liberal ADU laws, followed by San Diego. We even have now a ordinance where you can add a bonus ADU, which means if for 15 years you rented to low income or moderate income people, it's a deed restriction. Deed restriction.
Okay.
So if you're in a certain zone, you know, and there are a few things to consider, but that is if you want to really cram in as many units as you want, but then, you know, the quality of the rental might go down. Right. But if you have the room, that's probably one of the best ways here in San Diego.
Okay. Now, are you involved in some new home projects, not ADUs, but from scratch new homes?
Yeah. Funny you ask. We're still waiting for one entry door, which is back ordered for two and a half months. So the stucco guy is kind of waiting. But yeah, I'm one of the persons I finance or involved with the financing and building of three homes in La Mesa.
Okay.
And Same deal here. We kind of lucked out that our material prices didn't go up too high because it was framed out. But for example, that was crisis specific when we were ready to pour concrete. The concrete company literally ran out of concrete. So we had to go to the other supplier, which was then obviously, I believe, 30% more expensive.
Okay. Well, on top of concrete, you usually put lumber. How did you have stability in lumber prices?
Lumber was good because we ordered it and it, you know, the price was locked in. So that didn't quite, I mean, prices were up overall, but we could reflect it in the sales price. So we got close to $900,000 for a 2,200 square foot house in La Mesa.
Did you intentionally wait till the home approached to be completion before you put it up for sale, or did you try to sell it earlier?
We tried to sell it early. That was our goal. We did price in a price increase, right? Okay. So, and also the buyers can all customize their home.
Uh-oh.
So they, it's all going well. so they can pick the color of the stucco, the roof, the front door, the garage door.
And they can change their mind a week later, go, you know what? You're a brave woman. I don't want anybody having that option. in Florida, we have a hot market as well. So we don't put up anything for sale until it's pretty much got sod in the front yard and every decision's been made. And then it kind of goes crazy as far as how many people want it. Maybe it's just like in San Diego, we have people with foreign or other state license plate just driving around. So, I mean, you break ground, you've got people coming up the door. Can I buy your house? It's constant.
Yeah. And I could have sold those homes four times over.
Yeah. Yes. That's an interesting market. Well, let me ask you, cause you've been around this business in a cycle where prices went too crazy and we paid a big price for it. Are you concerned about that at all this cycle?
Actually, I just thought about you yesterday, Bruce, when affordability came up. Because affordability is obviously down. We in 2009 or 10, you know, when we had like what 30 or 40%, but the latest numbers, and I don't have the numbers, but it is obvious that the home prices rise much quicker than the median household income.
Well, for sure.
And we can tell right now because we have so much stimulus checks and government money that we really don't know what is really the income going to be once everybody has to actually work for a living and not just get a stimulus checks and go to the beach. Our San Diego beaches are overcrowded.
Wow.
And I don't know if people say they're working from home. I think they'll just put their computer on and their employers think they're working because the beaches are too busy.
There should be a sign out there, go back home and work. But in 2006 and 7, we got into a price point for a lot different reason. You know, that was all finance driven and incapable borrowing when the rates changed and everything, it crashed and crashed really hard. You have a lot of loans in forbearance right now that it's declining. So do you have any concern that we're going to have a rout on prices at the level they're at?
I mean, no and yes. No, because obviously all the loans that are being issued right now, the average credit score is 760.
Right.
Okay. That's unheard of. Okay. So the lending standards are pretty high. We have very good demographic outlook with the baby boomers, still living longer than any other population before us. The millennials are being 33 years old, starting now to buy houses. I mean, they bought houses before because they had a dog, but now they're having children. And so now they're buying, and this whole crisis actually brought out, you know, that your house is your castle, your lifeboat, your gym, your office. So that whole attitude has changed. And so whatever we're measuring right now with old indexes really doesn't give us a good outlook on what is really going on.
Yeah, I think there's an emotional part to this. You know, after the coronavirus, it seemed like there were a lot of people who said, okay, we've got to do this. There was a whole group of people, you know, now you talk about statewide, that said, okay, no one's going to tour my home. I'm removing it from the marketplace. So the statistical show, a lot of listings came off California wise, but you also had that group of people that had an urgency to buy, and they may have had the capacity to buy for quite a while, but they hadn't decided to. And all of a sudden, boom. And so you had urgency meet a small amount of inventory, and off to the races we started, and we are still there. It's amazing looking at the inventory that's for sale in San Diego. I just had about 15 minutes to look at a report I just got, but it looks like the inventory is going down 50% a month. That's just what?
Yeah. But sometimes they base it on the year before. So whatever our numbers are from now on are all skewed because we didn't have a normal year last year.
Okay.
So I'm like in, and yes, pendings were down 50% in March, but obviously because the March in 2020, this is when we hit the pause button.
Right.
Yeah. So very careful to look at all these numbers. I think this year you have to go a little bit by on the ground intel and your gut and your experience for people that are in the trenches.
Well, we know, like you were saying, days on market is almost non-existent. It's what do we do with 50 offers, you know, basically. You know, that's how the time is consumed, just deciding who's going to be the ultimate winner. And the inventory levels being so low and the demand so high. So you're still being able to eke out a little higher volume of sales, but it's landing on inventory that's shrinking constantly. So it's really going to be an interesting thing how this cycle ends. Because that's, you know, it seems like you'll get to a point where the lender, if they're in an honest lending environment, has to say no to some people. You know, it's just like, yeah, I know you want it, but you can't say get a yes answer.
Yeah, and that's why we're filtering out, and it's really, we do housing now by Darwinism, right? Only the toughest is going to survive, and with the best credit score, the good job prospect or long-term prospect, right? And stability as well, or anything. I mean, people have the savings, and that surprises me too, that people are able. Remember, just because you offer that much, you still have to come up there ever with 40,000 or whatever you offer above what it will appraise.
Wow, I didn't think about that. So the appraisals are not cooperating with the offer that's accepted.
Actually, I mean, it's what means not cooperating.
In other words, the market is basically so hot that an appraiser would be legitimately able to say, we're in a market that's accelerating 3 or 4% a month or something, whatever the number is, and that would be an honest appraisal. It would be.
And the appraisers, I mean, they operate from comps, and obviously once a few people overpay or pay more than the list price, right? So it raises up the comp. So now, right. Now they can, So it's really a spiral like it was in the, in 2006. We are obviously the whole financial market is in a bubble.
Yes.
And this time it's not induced by the lenders like it was in 2004-06. Now it's induced by the Fed.
Yes.
So is there a difference in that? So could the market, I mean, once if the Fed would say tomorrow, interest rates are going to be 5% and we are not buying anything, we know the market would crash down. So, which means we are in a bubble. Markets have a chance to crash, right? And I mean, look at the stock markets, but people don't even know what to do with their money. They can't buy assets, right? If they put it in the stock market, it's even worse. So, and why the hunt for real estate is because at least when the market crashes, you have a hard asset. I mean, I can sell my house to buy bananas. I'm not sure if you can buy bananas with Bitcoin.
Probably somewhere you might be able to. What's the mood of the renter looking at this market that is maybe so far beyond their reach, they've like, okay, I'm never going to get to own type thing?
Okay, here's an and I'm glad you asked that question, because I also need to vent on that subject. Because remember the narrative that came out when the COVID crisis hit, right? It says, oh, don't pay your rent. We're in a crisis. Millions or tens of millions of renters are behind and can't afford and this and that. Yes, it did hit the apartments more than it did the single family. In the beginning, to your original question, you know, how did it go down when the COVID crisis hit? It was practically, I called all my property management contacts. I called, you know, the investors. Everybody was paying rent.
Yep.
So the single family in home investors did actually very well. So there were maybe a few, but that is to expect it. So I felt like this whole narrative has driven actually this whole agenda of the moratoriums and the rental and forbearances as well. And we don't know. So the renters actually, they improved even their rental units to make it more cozy or an office. And yes, did people move? I mean, we didn't have a downtown. I'm not that familiar with our downtown market, but we did see more listings in the downtown market. We actually saw, because downtown has a lot of condos, right? So in the first 2 months or three, we saw kind of the condo market, I wouldn't say collapse, but retreat, right? Now today's market stats actually that the sold listings are up 25% in the attached market compared to the detached market of just 8 or 9%.
Okay.
So practically the condo market came roaring back. So, so the renters, you know, that's all I can say to that. And I wish we would end all the moratoriums. And so, because I'm a little bit still afraid that a shoe could drop there, and especially for the smaller landlords that maybe some tenants didn't pay and they still have to pay the mortgage.
Yeah. It's interesting. Every state has handled that differently, of course. And so California was the most aggressive one probably that I am aware of, but it's interesting that people still came through in California and paid their rent a huge percentage of the time. So that speaks well to that. Okay. Joey, is there anything else that you would like to ask? Where did Joey go?
I'm here. You know, I had a lot of stuff you hit on. Where I was going with the somebody moving into the accessory dwelling unit, I've heard of an investor that was putting an ADU in one of the rentals, and it was coming out so nice that the people in the main house asked to move into the ADU.
Yeah, and if you have a good paying tenant, then why not reward them, right? And moving them into the unit, and maybe fix up whatever else you had, because any improvements you can do with today's dollars and fix up your properties and set yourself up to have maybe two nice rentals, that's the way to go. I mean, when this crisis started and I had to walk because the gym was closed, I couldn't believe. I mean, every second house, even on my street, had some kind of a construction improvement and whatever else going. Okay, so people discovered their houses and renters as well. But a lot of with the ADUs, what happens too is the what I see with the baby boomers is they add an ADU and make it so nice that they eventually going to move in themselves and then rent out the main house.
Now when we get a lot of calls here that people want coaching, and it's not something that we ever do. California having such a high barrier to entry into, you know, starting a real estate investing career. Somebody who comes to you or calls you or comes to SDCIA and says, hey, I just want to get started. What do you tell them to do? Like, where do you point them? Like, what can somebody do to get started in real estate in California in such a tough situation?
You know, like I ask everybody I meet, how much money do you have? Just kidding. Okay. No, that's not, it's certainly not what we promote at SDCIA. Obviously at SDCIA, we are big in education. Actually put your checkbook and your account balance, you know, in the lock it up and get educated first, right? And obviously to buy your first house is always the step to start. But nowadays people, you know, I advise them buy your first house, but see if it has ADU potential.
Get it, get your feet in the door and own something that you live in. It's going to be interesting. There's legislation that I guess it's going to go through, you know, Congress and see if it can get passed for a $25,000. It's not a tax credit. It's been morphed into basically closing, you know, costs, that type of thing. So I think that's an attempt to reach across the table to the people that haven't had real estate impact their life, because it's only for a generation or a buyer that hasn't had generational ownership, correct? So if your folks own home, you don't get this shot. I think the theory there is that your parents can write you the 25 grand check, which is probably true.
And I have clients that, you know, get their kids involved, but again, about speaking about equality and stuff, right? I mean, if your parents are in real estate, and you learn this stuff and you save. I mean, I sold a house to the guy is, I think, close to 30, lived at home, saved up, but mom still had to pay $100,000 to fix up the place.
Right.
But then they refinanced. He could afford the new mortgage and mom got the money back.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to have parents that are able to write that $25,000 or $100,000. So, there is great opportunity where parents can actually help their kids to do that. And especially now with that Prop 19, you know, the kids need to be involved more in your real estate business as well. So that those are some huge changes coming up.
I have one last question. How did the pandemic affect SDCIA, the membership and meetings and things like that? Because I think it completely changed the game for everybody, just because, you know, like we're so used to, you know, speaking live in front of all these places with Bruce. And now, you know, it's been over a year of none of that. So how's the membership and is it still strong? How did it affect?
So I think every club struggles. Right, because the strength was in the networking and eye to eye. And I personally believe there's nothing better than doing an in-person meeting. So, and the education now, because of our digitization of learning, education, investing, I mean, you can find practically anything on YouTube, right? Yeah. So, and I think, and at the convenience, I mean, I can walk up and down my mountain here and hike and listen to any podcast or any education I want to. So I think for the clubs is very important. What do we bring to the table? And that's why it's important to actually talk to local people right? And that is better done. I mean, that can be done online or it can be done in person as well. So we're planning on going back to in-person. I think we said June or July. They asked, when are you ready? I said, I was ready yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you have been vaccinated and take your vitamin C and exercise, right, let's all get back together. And you're more than welcome to stay 6 feet away. And so we're trying to get back in person. But yeah, membership, we did see a membership decrease, right? And but we have seen it before the crisis because right now it's a tough investor market in San Diego. Yeah. So the fix and flip business is, I don't want to say is dead. I mean, people are still fix and flipping, but it goes to the really professional companies. So yeah, it changed.
I think we're scheduled to speak in San Diego, correct? Is that December?
Yeah. It was funny because Ann asked, you know, hey, would Bruce be willing to, you know, if he's not, we'd love to have him on Zoom still. And I think Bruce has never responded any faster then said, yes, I'll be out there live.
And we're getting, because the Scottish Rite Center is going through renovations or something. Oh. So, but they built a new facility, not they, but there is a brand new facility, which we're trying to get for the big holiday meeting, because somehow I have the feeling, I think this New Year's Eve or this holiday season will be probably one of the biggest ones if we talk about pent up demand and people get together.
Yeah.
So we would love for you nothing more than showing up your full person.
Yeah.
You know, don't hold back, Bruce.
No, I will. I have missed speaking in front of an audience. There's no comparison to doing a Zoom meeting and doing it in person.
Yeah, and you don't see the faces and you don't, I don't hear the laughs, right?
Yeah.
And this is a big thing for me. Even so, sometimes people do not understand my, my dry sense of humor.
You gotta just, well, you know, on your phone, put a laugh track on it. So, you know, you say your joke and you just hit your phone, give yourself some laughs.
Okay, Joey, you know, at my age, I'm glad if I find the stop and start button and maybe look in the camera, you know, that is already challenging enough.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah, if I didn't have skilled people around me, I'd be still in the dark, that's for sure.
That was the biggest learning curve, because any real estate, you know, professional had to now do the Zoom meetings and get more, you know, more technical and believe it or not. So you mentioned that I do those field trips, right? So actually 2 months ago, I did a live streaming event.
Okay.
Ask me how it went.
Okay. How'd it go?
I don't think I was in the picture, but you know, you have to try and you have to grow and test out different things. So I can live stream with my drone. That one I mastered.
Okay.
Right? So get ready for that.
Okay. All right. Well, Lenska, thanks so much for joining us. We had fun.
Invest smartly. You will be rewarded.
Absolutely.
Did we hit the record button? Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Do we have to do it over?
No. No, we're good.
That's funny.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.